This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Roshan Kanasin. 7:48 a.m, 19th of November, Thursday. And we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. What's it looking like now, Roshan?
Well, the question we're asking you is, how can UMNO reform itself? And this is pretty much a two-horse race in terms of the answers. 55% have voted for fresh leaders. 1.6% say no reform needed. And 43% say think it can't be reformed. We've also got an option here for others and tell us. That's only at 0.5%. And we'll get into some of the other thoughts later on.
Indeed. So do continue to let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to the fact that this is every year the start of the monsoon season around this time in November means that our northern states of Kelantan and Terengganu gear up for yet another year of flooding. The Malaysian Met Department last week forecasted heavy continuous rain along the east coast until December.
While 22 million ringgit has been set aside by the federal and state government of Kelantan to prevent and reduce the risk of flooding in the state. But that said, but being displaced from their homes isn't the only threat to residents in these flood-affected areas. In some of Kelantan's rural areas, residents lack access to clean water and even basic sanitation needs like proper toilets.
So in conjunction with World Toilet Day today, we wanted to get a sense of the situation on the ground. And for that, we're speaking this morning with Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Operations at Mercy Malaysia. Now, Mercy Malaysia runs disaster mitigation programs not just overseas, but here at home too. They've had boots on the ground in Kelantan since the devastating 2014 floods and have been involved in ongoing water sanitation and hygiene projects in the state for the last 2 years. Syed, thank you so much for joining us. Now, it is the start of monsoon season, meaning that Kelantan and Terengganu are readying their flood mitigation measures. But it's not just flooding that's the problem, but also access to clean water and sanitation. Could you explain to us the extent of the problem? Why is this such a persistent issue?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So basically, I mean, the issue is not only in Kelantan. The same issue is happening in other states as well. Sabah, Sarawak, among others, are having the same problem with water and sanitation. And unfortunately, I mean, these are the same states that have the highest poverty level in Malaysia. Sabah with 19.5%, Kelantan 12.4%, Sarawak with 9%. So therefore, I think poverty is one of the main reasons why they are having this excess problem to water, treated water especially. Access to water per se is not really an issue, but treated water is a different story. Toilets, on the other hand, may be a problem because poor people, they don't usually tend to spend to make their toilets good or even construct toilets if they are having problem or they just have income by day. So it's totally different as compared to urban poor, whereby they are staying in flat houses. There are other reasons as well, like geography, topography of the area, mountainous area, too remote in the jungle or small cluster of villages, whereby utilities company wouldn't be able to have this kind of water project in their places, because I think everybody knows that all the utilities companies are private companies, so they will review their ROI before heading to the rural areas to construct these projects. We also have the policy issues whereby I think there are quite a number of policies on water and sanitation that is quite outdated. And also, we have those people who doesn't really look into this policy, or they don't abide by the policy. For example, in places where the gravity feed system or dam is built in the middle of the river, usually those areas are being gazetted by the government, so you cannot have logging or agriculture in those areas, but these are not being abide nowadays. And finally, I mean people are in these areas, sometimes they are very used to the lifestyle. Maybe it's because of culture, or maybe it's just because the place of living, example in the if it's in the middle of a jungle, so you don't really have much of a choice of having a toilet or clean water. So they have been used to going to the river, to do their business. Or in some places, there are toilets, for example, in some of the Orang Asli villages that I visited. But because of cultural reason, maybe, or they are used to it, they are not using the toilets. Rather, they will do their business in the river. So the toilets are being used as storage. So this is, these are among the reasons why these issues have been very persistent.
So, Syed, here in Selangor, we're not strangers to water cuts, but the problem is in poverty-stricken states go further than that, stemming from a lack of basic infrastructure. Could you maybe give us some context here? What's your estimate of the number of people who don't have access to clean water here in Malaysia?
I think the numbers is really, the data is very hard to come by. I think this is not common only for water and sanitation type of data. The poverty indicator may be, can be used to a certain extent. So that would mean be able to provide you some number, but it doesn't show the real pictures because it does not take into consideration certain group of people like, the stateless or undocumented migrants in this particular case. It doesn't also show that, that the data, the poverty data, doesn't mean that that number of people, all of them doesn't have access to water or even, latrine. So we usually go to the ground to get information from the local authorities, but even the data is very scarce, and we have to go to the to see the people and then do our own assessment in order for us to understand the real situation. Again, access to water is not the main issue here. Access to treated water is the main issue.
Yeah. So, how much more of a problem is this going to be for these rural communities this year, since we also have to deal with the threat of COVID-19 at the same time?
I would think that because water and sanitation is a public health matter and it's interrelated, so it's going to be an issue, especially in the monsoon season where evacuation is going to take place. Washing hand using soap using soap and water is the gold standard when it comes to personal hygiene, as compared to as opposed to using hand sanitizer. So when we talk about the monsoon season, people will be evacuated and live in a cramped living condition. So, how do we control this? So this is something that, that I think we'll need to take extra consideration. Of course, NADMA has issued some guidelines on disaster management during COVID-19. But I think it's up to the people themselves how they want to act or behave to determine whether or not we're going to have a new cluster, in the evacuation center or not. So again, it's not only about communicating on what to do or not to do. I think risk communication in this sense and in this COVID time, it needs to be a two-way communication, because people need to understand why they need to do this, why they need to wash hand, and then why they need to wear face masks. So these are among the things, why people sometimes they tend not to do it, because they don't understand, the reason behind it.
Syed, very, very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds here. Now, part of Mercy Malaysia's programs has been to build toilets in rural Malaysia. What more support do you want from the government here?
I think policy needs to be improved, definitely. We need proper data in order for us to understand the situation much better. And of course, we can still do a quick win solution, especially in critical areas. But and NGOs can do this because we are more working to the ground. So I think people can support NGOs in doing water and sanitation projects, because this is a sustainable project anyway.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Syed. That was Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Operations at Mercy Malaysia, giving us some insight into the persistent issue that is facing some of the rural areas of the country, a lack of treated water, as he pointed out, which is even more dire considering that we are also facing a global pandemic. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and then after that, we're bringing you the Breakfast Grill, where Khoo Soo Chuang speaks with Tan Sri Dr. Rebecca Santamaria, Executive Director at the APEC Secretariat. Be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.